So firstly, you have to prepare. in this portion he's talking about internal preparation and then internal preparation, etc. So to begin with, in verse number 1, he is actually summarizing Karma Yoga. He said, Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha Saha Sanyasi Saha Yogi Na Niragrhena Cha Akriyaha. We have, if we close our eyes and if we have to imagine a sannyasi, immediately in our mind, the picture of a sannyasi will be of somebody with long beard, upper robe, etc. You will never be able to conceive a sannyasi's picture in your mind with a jeans and t-shirt. Right? The moment you hear the word sannyasi, immediately a recluse's picture will what will come in your mind. Whereas Krishna here says, Saha Yogi, Saha Sannyasi. Who? Nothing to do with what clothes he wears, meaning nothing to do with his lifestyle. Whether it is Grahastha lifestyle or Sannyasi lifestyle. It is to do with Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha. Remember I even told about my co-sadhak when I was doing sadhak in the sadhana in the ashram. My co-sadhak Andrew, who is unfortunately no more, behind his door he had written this on a small piece of paper and stuck it. Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha. From the relative point of view, the only valuable question, only valuable thing in life is what is to be done now. What time is it now? What is to be done now? Sir, next, what is to be done now? If you can live like this, you will not gather any vasanas, you will be absolutely peaceful, and the fact that you are doing your work moment to moment, that work itself will metamorphose into success. Fruit also will come, you will get peace. The problem is we don't live moment to moment. Therefore, we are not peaceful. We are in pieces. Not peaceful. Right? So all that you need to do to get both success and peace. Swamiji keeps on saying some people are very successful, but by their own admission they have lost the peace of mind. Some people are extremely peaceful, but they are hardly successful. How to combine these two? Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha Saha Sanyasi Saha Yogi. So in other words, you can be Grahastha, yet if you have the spirit, you can be a sannyasi. You can be in sannyas ashrama, meaning wearing upper robe, etc., in following such a lifestyle, and yet if you are not mentally renounced, you would still be a Grahastha. This is what he said in verse number 1. We have seen that in detail. And in verse number 2, what did he say? Both sannyas and yoga are... Read the translation. I can read it, but I want you to read it. What is the translation? Say, verse number 2.
Yoga is that which they call sannyasa.
Yoga is that which they call as sannyasa. Arjuna, yoga is that what they call as?
Sannyasa.
Why is he telling this to Arjuna? Because in the beginning of the Gita, Arjuna wanted to leave the battlefield. Battlefield in the sense, Arjuna's duty was to fight on the battlefield in that context. So he was going to leave his duty. He was going to take up sannyas as it were. He wanted to follow the lifestyle of sannyas. So Krishna is telling him now, Arjuna, yoga is sannyas also. Yoga and sannyas are one and the same. Then, know that which is yoga is also called as sannyas. Then, nothing becomes a yogi without renouncing imposition 250 times. Keep on writing this in your mind, not on your notebook. None indeed becomes a sannyasi without renouncing sankalpa. So I told you last week that it is very interesting to note that this verse is given to a person like Arjuna who has tremendous sankalpa shakti. We are all people who have lot of ichcha, desires. Lekin sankalpa shakti nahi hai. What is the difference between ichcha and sankalpa shakti? If you want to translate in English, ichcha means desire. Sankalpa shakti means willpower, determination. When ichcha, the desire, combines with willpower, sankalpa, then it will metamorphose into fruit. Right? Then the ego gets more consolidated. The more and more you achieve, the ego becomes more and more consolidated. You can only give what you have. You cannot give what you do not have. If you do not have the ego so much, where is the question of attaining samarpan bhava? What are you giving? In every action that you do, are you there? So I gave you the example, in the morning you take a vow. Aaj raat hum nahi khayenge. Right? Raat jab aayega, what happens? Not only you eat, you probably eat more than every day and then separate dessert also. But morning you said, I'm not going to eat. Similarly, night you set the alarm. Morning 4 o'clock I'm getting up. 5 o'clock I'm getting up. 6 o'clock, whatever that is. And morning 6 o'clock when the alarm goes off, yeah, what is it? It's too cold. And also I slept late. I didn't have proper sleep. Something or the other, some reason or the other comes. You switch off the alarm and go back to sleep. So where is the I there? So first, Ichha ko, you have to unite it with Sankalpa and go about making your ego little more solidified, and that ego needs to be surrendered. So first, that is what he says. Therefore, you see Arjuna was a tremendous person with tremendous willpower. Otherwise, he could not have become number one in the art of archery. You understand? Lot of people, what they do is, they listen to these things and they don't understand because they don't do proper reflection. See, I told you, first is what? Shravan. Then there is Manan. Every once a week when we meet, it is Shravan that is going on. And rest of the week, you are supposed to do Manan. Then it is Dhyan, through Anubhava. You understand? So then you will slowly, slowly understand things correctly. A lot of people without doing all that simply hear from here and there, and then what do they do? Achha, Ichha ko kya karenge? Ichha ko, they are running away from Ichha. Why? Because there is tremendous effort needs to be done to attain the fruit. So they think shortcut method say they can become sannyasi. It is not possible. So here Krishna says, none indeed becomes a sannyasi without renouncing sankalpa. This doesn't mean you have to become a great businessman or something great in any field. Before you can become a sannyasi, first try out how within the field to attain something in whichever field you are, there is tremendous effort that needs to be put in. And when you put in that effort, how the ego comes up. Then when the ego is there, that ego can be surrendered. Then you become a sannyasi. When the ego is surrendered. But a person has no ego, nothing. He is not there in any action. That's why I am saying. Morning you say, I am not eating. Evening you eat. Which means what? You are a very weak person. Spirituality is not for a weak person. So for a weak person, first thing is Karma Yoga. Before India opened up, Karma Yoga. Actions are. You understand? Before India opened up economically, right? Till about that Narasimha Rao period, we had not opened up our market, right? So we were as if we had grown Bajaj. Maruti, Ambassador, Fiat, these are the three prominent cars, nothing much. And it looked very simple, living people. Suddenly when the market opened up, and now the internet also is there, so you kind of see car shows and everything going on here. Recently we had this car show in Noida also. They exhibit the cars which are going to come after 4 years. Now only you book. Now suddenly what happened? Suddenly you became desirous or what? Desire go when the appropriate environment comes, then you know. You know, when you see in the ground, if it is brown, nothing greenish there, few drops of rain, when it falls on the ground, what happens? Slowly the grass, where is it coming from? The seed is there. It did not get a right environment, did not get proper environment. And the moment proper environment comes, what happens? You come to know how weak you are. You understand? So Ichha ko, you have to be there if you want to become successful. Then that you needs to be surrendered. This is what we see till now. Let's go to verse number 3.
Aru rukshor munir yogam, aru rukshor munir yogam, karma karana mujyate, karma karana mujyate, yoga rudasya tasyaiva, yoga rudasya tasyaiva, shamakarana mujyate, shamakarana mujyate, aru rukshor munir yogam, karma karana mujyate, yoga rudasya tasyaiva, shamakaranamuchyate.
For a seeker who wishes to master yoga, who yoga aruda, one who wishes to climb on yoga, that's what it means. Like you sit mount on the horse, right? You climb on the horse and you sit. Like that, if you want to climb on yoga and sit, that is called as yoga aruda. If you want to become master of yoga, action is said to be the means. Karma karanam uchyate. Uchyate means said. Karma karanam uchyate. Karana, the cause, the reason. The person who wishes to climb on yoga, who wishes to get established in yoga, what is the means for him? Karma. Karma karanam uchyate. Yoga rudasya tasyaiva. Once a person has mastered the yoga, for the one who is established in yoga, shama karana mujyate. Shama means what? Quietude becomes. Without desire being controlled, if you become quiet, instead of practicing maunam, you will be practicing defendam. Lot of people on the day of maunam, you say, because he's not supposed to shout or talk. And he's getting angry inside. And they know, children know, today my mother is on maunam.
Yeah.
You understand? And he starts doing all the naughty things. You're doing all that is what? Playing defendam. It's not being mauni. You understand? So what he's saying is, the practice is a different thing what you do. So what he's saying here is, for a seeker who wishes to master yoga, karma karana mujyate. Before you can crawl, don't try to run. Forget about walking. You have not even started walking, but you are thinking about running. There is tremendous rush to get into meditation. Tremendous rush. You start one meditation class, suddenly thousands of people come. Next day you say, okay, all of you come for Gita class, nobody comes. One or two fellows come. In the sense, what we need to understand is, you must understand the, there is a, way to get there. You can't rush. You will sit down in meditation forcefully, but what is happening to your thoughts? So he says, for the one who wishes to climb on yoga and set master yoga, karma karanam uchyate. If you have mastered that, then you can get into quietitude. Or put it this way, to the extent you have mastered yoga, to that extent you can sit on the seat of meditation, then it will help you. That is why we say, I said this many times, still I am saying this once again. In your mind, if the class is at 11 o'clock, it should be 10:15. Sorry, 10:45. 10:15 is too much. 10:45. See, you are coming from different places. Probably you are doing so many things. In the car also, you are sitting on the way, you are talking so many things, sitting here, so many things. You may be running a business. Yeah. When you come down, already you find the class started. It takes a while for you to settle down. It is not just mechanical ritual that we are doing to chant some verses. The idea is first you come down and sit down here and start gossiping about others. No. So sit down so that you get your mind tuning into this frequency. From various frequencies, the mind needs to be tuned into this frequency. Right. So 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the class, when you come, sit down, and then when we start the class, we are chanting, we are tuning in, then you slide into the class. You are able to concentrate better. It takes a while for you to tune in, you know. So similarly, he says, first prepare. Right? To the extent your mind is prepared, to that extent, you can get into quietness. Firstly, you need to prepare the soil before you can sow the seed. Without preparing the soil, if you sow the seed, it won't germinate. It is a waste of effort. So he's talking about that here. If you want to go into meditation, because meditation is the ultimate gateway to realization. Nobody is denying that. But before you go to meditation, before you go to PhD, you better go through graduation, and then before that schooling, etc. Right? So let us not be in a hurry. Remember that. If you are in a hurry, you can never meet up with hurry. Impossible. Therefore, you have to understand the procedure. So he said, yoga. What is yoga? He already talked about it in the second and third chapter. What did he say? In the second chapter, verse number 48 and 50. What did he say as yoga is? Samadvam yogam uchyate. Remember that? Samadvam yogam uchyate. Now, when you are living, you do not have that. You are always given yourself into ati, extremes. Right? You have given yourself to likes and dislikes. You have given yourself to ati, extremes. You are never balanced. Verse number 48 and 50 of chapter 2. 48. He said, samatvam yogam uchyate. 50 is a yoga karmasu kaushalam. See, whenever I am mentioning these things, you note it down somewhere.
Yeah.
In fact, what I would like you to do is, as a homework, see, this is how we must get into the spirit of Gita. It helps, like in the 11th verse, the parasparam bhavayata, elsewhere also it says, you know, people get more and more interested. They only want to discuss these things. Instead of gossiping what happened there, here, you start discussing, okay, which verse was that, which verse is this, like this. So if you can formulate, whenever I'm saying this is important for these reasons, those verses you can collect and type it and then circulate. Then you know you kind of get the entire gist. That's what we used to do when we were studying also. So verse number 48 of chapter 2 and 50 of chapter 2. Yeah. In 48 he says, samatvam yogam uchyate. In 50 he says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. What does this mean? Samatvam yoga uchyate means what? The balance of mind is yoga. Yoga is being balanced. That is the definition he gave in 48. And in 50 what did he say? Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Skill in action is yoga. When you do an action, you remain peaceful while doing, and after having done the action doesn't create further vasana. Then you have done the action skillfully.
Yoga karmasu?
Kaushalam. Kaushal, you know, kushala. So, yoga karmasu kaushala in verse number 50. So now I am saying, here, if you want to wish you, if you want to get into meditation, first you have to master yoga. Mastering yoga means what? In life you must become samatva bhava. Right? What is this samatva bhava?
Samma.
What is that? Today if you scrutinize in our life, we are extremes. One day we are getting very angry. You shout at your child in the morning and you go to work. Then you feel, unnecessarily I shouted. You feel very sad. And then you come back in the evening, then you are playing too much with your child. Right? Extreme. Too close or too far. The middle part we never follow. Either we eat too much or we don't eat too little. Either we sleep too much or we sleep too little. Either close friend. Fast friend. Very too fast. Understand? It is like that super glue. They show that. You understand? I miss you, going on like this. And then love it every stuff. Becoming too much. You understand? Or we are not in talking terms. Please don't even take her name or his name. Why I'm there. You understand? Middle class 3 years. So he's saying, first in your life, balance. Arti nahi hona chahiye. Extreme. Remember, when we go to the extreme, what it means? I already told you, like a pendulum. We are swinging like a pendulum. When the pendulum is going to one extreme, what does it mean? It is getting ready to go to the other extreme. Isn't it? When it comes to the halfway and then it's swinging the other side, what is it doing? It is gathering momentum to swing back the other side. So when you become too close with somebody, please understand, it's a question of time. This is what happens. Now, Shakespeare says, your relationship should be just as much close that it doesn't become vulgar. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar.
Even I just, I mean, one generation above us, like my parents and all, so always keep saying that don't keep it in balance with all your relationship. Don't get carried away with this.
Exactly. There will be interest.
And everything moderation, food and everything.
So what I'm saying is, in the Shakespeare's advice, in Hamlet, Polonius, the minister of Denmark, is giving advice to his own son, Leander, when he goes to France for higher studies. So Shakespeare, through Polonius, is giving us this advice. He's saying, be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. Understand? Any relationship, it should not become too close, uncomfortably close. No. It's like somebody is sitting on your back constantly. However close, it might be your mother, it might be your father. If you, for a while you say, okay, it's my mother, but afterwards it becomes too much. Arey mama, please. For us, you know, sit down. Let us have some space. So if you really want to have a peaceful, happy relationship, be thou familiar, but by no means
vulgar.
So samatva bhav we need to practice in everything. Right? If you understand this, what he is saying is, without this, in ati, you are either in yoga or in bhoga. Yoga, bhoga, in the sense, instead of bhoga, I use the word kya. Either in kya, I will not contact at all. Such control. You go, I think you sit on the sense of control. Frustration builds. Either in indulgence or in frustration. Are you with me? You should be relaxed. In not contacting, why there is so much of tension? Or in contacting, why there is so much of tension? You understand? Everything should be a flow. Yoga is a flow, basically. You understand? When you do yoga, it should flow naturally. Otherwise it is not yoga. Otherwise it's like drill. You understand? Hands up, it's like a drill going. It should be a flow, you know. Tai Chi, when you see them doing Tai Chi, it's a flow. Everything should be a flow in balance. So what he's saying is samatva bhav. What we need to understand here is, in samatva bhav, you will be there. In ati, you will not be there. Mind is overtaking you. Please notice, for example, when you get hungry and when you are eating, when you observe somebody when he is eating, you clearly know he is not present there. You understand? In a hurry, he is eating either too much or he is eating too little. Body is not at all hungry, 1 o'clock over here, let's go. He is not there. Mind is taking over. In ati means mind, the nature of the mind is to be in ati.
Extreme.
That is mind. You understand? That is restless. Restless mind will be either in indulgence or in suppression. This extreme or that extreme. Never will it come to the middle mark. So if you understand, what we need to understand is animals and human beings. When you take these two species, animals do not have mind as much as we do. Right? That is why they are also called as manava. Those who have man. It's called manava. Some people interpret it as just saying those who are descendants of manu. The real interpretation is those who are descendants, those who have
mind.
Mind. In the case of animals, There is no question of overeating. You understand? But in the case of human beings, that is possible. Mind, which has to be a blessing, which can be a blessing, when you know how to be the master. When mind becomes the master, the very same mind becomes a curse. This is what Abhishekha is saying in Bhattugovinda Maharshi. Artham anartham. Wealth is calamitous. What is he saying? It is not that Adi Shankara is against wealth. When he says artham anartham, when you are the master of wealth, wealth is a blessing. When wealth becomes your master, then wealth is a curse. Without learning the art of being the master of wealth, if you become wealthy, it is a curse. So first, before you pray to God to become wealthy, you should know the art of contacting wealth, isn't it? Because wealth, truly when you know how to control it, becomes freedom. It becomes option in your hand. It becomes freedom in your hand. When you do not know how to control wealth, when wealth is the master, then what happens? Instead of being freedom, it becomes licentious. It becomes display. When it becomes display, it becomes vulgar. Shakespeare, again, the same advice he says, be rich, not gaudy. Be rich, not gaudy. Wealth becomes freedom when you know how to control it, how to master it, when you are the master of it. It becomes freedom, it becomes choice, it becomes option, it becomes beautiful. It gives you peace. When it is not under your control, when you are under its control, then what happens? It destroys you. Because you have become licentious, it becomes display. And when it becomes display, it becomes worldly. It becomes godly. Right? So what we need to understand is, man. Human beings have man. But what is supposed to have been a blessing? Because once you know how to control the mind, then you can go to the level of what? Paramatma. When you do not know how to control the mind, you even become worse than animal sometimes. You become animal. You find out in all these actions, always you are in a team. Either this extreme or that extreme. In fact, you know, if this person is, becoming, suddenly you find some people are extremely practicing sadhana like anything. Right? And the more they are doing sadhana, for 2-3 months, very essential, the next 2-3 months you clearly know they are going to individual. Because their sadhana is also done by the mind. See, mind has a knack of getting attached. It wants something or the other to get attached. The moment you become detached, it means you are actually dissolving the very mind. So mind creates a beautiful technique of using the very thing that you are utilizing to make it dissolve. It gets attached to that itself. Like you get attached to sadhana itself. You will become so fanatic about sadhana. You will have two extremes. One extreme, no sadhana, nothing. Industrial. That is their idea. Other is fanatically attached to sadhana. Even sadhana should not become tension. Right? When you see a sadhana, he should give cheer to you. That is sadhana. His face should be bubbling with cheer. But when you see a sadhana, he should not become so depressing to you. You understand? No laughter. If somebody cracks a joke, you should not laugh. If somebody is quoting, you should not be inspired by it. Are you? Very quiet. In the name of sadhana. It should not become depressed. You don't pass on melancholy. You understand? When you are in a sadhana, it should be cheer. Because the sadhana is celebrating his life. For him, life is celebration. It's not a suppression. That's what we need to understand. We do not have to celebrate our life. What is hindering our celebration? Why our life is not a celebration? Mind. If you know how to deal with the mind, then the life becomes a celebration. Every moment is celebration. So that is what he is saying here. ఆరుషోర్ గుణే యోగం కర్మ కారణం ఉచ్యతే. సో సమత్వ యోగ డోంట్ గో టు అచీవ్. స్మాల్ లిటిల్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ యూ కెన్ డూ, లైక్ ఇఫ్ యూ పుట్ అ ఫింగర్ అండర్నీత్ యువర్ నోస్, యువర్ బ్రెత్ యూ సీ ఎదర్ ఇట్ కమింగ్ త్రూ రైట్ నాస్ట్రల్, ఆఫ్టర్ సమ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ విల్ గో త్రూ లెఫ్ట్ నాస్ట్రల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ బ్యాలెన్స్డ్. But when you keep doing yoga sadhana over a period of time, you will see your breath will be equally flowing through both the nostrils. Similarly, if you are standing, when you stand up, you will see, if you carefully, if you become aware, the weight is more on one foot than the other. After some time, it shifts to the other. Now you have to become little more aware. That's what he's saying. First, continue your actions, not stop your actions. But very often when we stop our action, our mind takes over. When somebody irritates you, agitates you, they are successful in irritating you, then what happens? You get so agitated, you say, I'm not coming to the office today. And you don't go to the office, you sit down quietly at home, you think you sit down quietly. But what is happening? You are sitting down, their mind is, why did they say that? Why he did say that? Then you will call this fellow, that fellow, then you will talk to him. Why is that? Then they are giving control, going on thinking. So all the Krishna is saying is, don't stop the action. Understand? Allow the action to continue, but start becoming aware. That is what Karma Yoga is. I have already spoken in detail about it. Karma Karana Mucheta means what? Karma means, see, whenever a Mahatma says, you must understand, he is talking about doing anything with awareness. He never talks about karma without awareness. He doesn't know what it is. He can only talk what he knows. He doesn't know what is action without awareness. Are you with me? That is why very often we find Mahatmas doing certain things. Then you say, what kind of Mahatma is he? He is also doing the same thing as the other fellow. Worldly people. Right? He is also going in Mercedes-Benz. Other fellow also going in Mercedes-Benz. He is also wearing designer clothes. He is also wearing designer clothes. Please understand, the other fellow is sleepwalking. Mahatma is one who is not sleepwalking. How do you know whether he is sleepwalking or not? To the extent you are not sleepwalking, to that extent you know whether he is sleepwalking or not. Otherwise you are simply believing others. If somebody will come and tell you tomorrow that this guy is a Mahatma, you will believe. Don't believe anybody. Don't have to believe anybody else. All you need to do is, you start becoming aware. Once you start becoming aware, you know who are all aware, who are all not aware. Like when we are all sleeping, you won't know who has woken up. When you wake up, when you come and ask somebody else who has woken up, who all have woken up? You won't ask, because you know once you have woken up, you know who all have woken up. So the focus should be in waking up, not in knowing who all has woken up. A waste of time. Whether he is a Mahatma or not. What are you going to do about it? If somebody will come and tell you that he is a Mahatma, in what way is he thinking? He will start believing. And the danger is very often people start mechanically believing. So the focus should be in you waking up. See, everywhere the mind will start playing tricks. Understand? Your gossiping tendency will come into the spiritual field also. You think he is woken up? Hey, what does it matter to you whether he is woken up or not? Instead of gossiping for somebody else, one will start gossiping for Mahatma. Oh, he is talking so wonderfully. It must be that he is woken up. Very often people who speak so wonderfully, please understand, it is not necessary that they are woken up. Understand? Sometimes the woken up person speaks very little, like Ramana Maharishi. And it may not be very attractive, but he is woken up. Are you with me? So this ati, you need to start practicing. Simple things like what you do every day. Take for example, you eat. Right? See whether you are eating or who is eating. We think, I am eating, I am hungry. We keep on saying, I am hungry, I am eating. But if you carefully see, the moment you start seeing yourself eating, what is happening there?
The mind, you are aware of.
You are aware of what?
You are aware of what?
Of what you are eating and how much. And how much the body needs and the mind doesn't take over.
Close to it.
You are coming little close. What is it?
Don't let the mind dictate you. You know, the
story what she is saying, an awareness of what
you eat in awareness.
How much you eat?
When you eat with awareness, what happens?
You enjoy the food.
All that is effect. You enjoy the food, you don't overeat, all that is effect. What is the primary thing that happens?
You are in the moment
of eating,
that you digest the food.
You can control.
You can
control. These are all very pathetic words. What actually happens? Is you start seeing that the body is hungry and the body is eating and I am just a witness. You start seeing yourself separate from the body. अभी क्या हुआ? Oh, you put on weight. Oh, you lost weight. Oh, you put on weight. But have you been all well? So you start thinking, I am this body. From childhood, everybody has been telling you this. So you are now become one with the
body.
You don't separate yourself from the body. Are you with me? So ati nahi hoga, kyunki see, please understand. There is consciousness in you, and that. Matter. A combination of consciousness and matter is you and me and all of us. Right? So what is happening is, matter on its own cannot go and climb on consciousness. But consciousness can go and lend itself to matter. And what has happened with us is, we have united that consciousness with the matter. And now I am thinking, I am this combination. I am this mind. I am this body. I am this intellect. So now, the moment, therefore what is happening? Hunger. I am eating, I am coming, I. You understand? Moment you start doing things consciously, what you are doing is that forcefully going and uniting yourself with the body slowly separates. So you are watching yourself eating. Then you can't get into ati. Then as you rightly said, when the body is hungry, you will give it food. When the body is not hungry, you will not give food. You have nothing against eating. You are neither for eating nor against eating. Really, you are seeing yourself separate from the body. And that separate consciousness, then you can understand it is the same consciousness that is functioning with in everybody. And then you unite with that. That is ultimate. Firstly, start doing things consciously. That's why I said, you know, standing, you become conscious. Then you will see that one leg is taking more weight. Then slowly you will see the weight shifting to the other leg. Like this, going on. So now what you have to do? What you understand? Usually what is happening is, I am going on jumping from one ati to another. So when you are in one ati, stay with that ati. Are you with me? When you stay with that ati, what happens is, instead of jumping to another ati, the other ati, what will happen is, now you will slide into atma. Come to the center. Without awareness, when you are in one ati, you go to another ati. From that ati, you come back here. Like from anger, you will go to what? Regret feeling. I regret. You will tell your child, your grandchildren, I'm sorry, I should not have shouted it. Teacher, I'll give you a treat. That means what? Children don't understand this. If they understand, they know that tomorrow morning again she will become Bhadrakali. Now, from one ati to another ati. Are you with me? From one ati to another ati. We are going like this. Swinging. So now when you become totally, when you are in one ati, fully with awareness, then what happens? From that ati, you shift to atma. You see, I am separate. This is nature function. Please understand this. How the whole thing is going on. Now I have gone and attached myself. Since I have attached to myself, I only need to
withdraw.
Now the whole thing is going on in such a pace that nobody really has time to pause and think. See, we keep on talking about retreats once in a while. The retreat also, what is the reason for retreat? Retreat is not to go to places which we have not been, or go to places which are so beautiful. That is not our agenda. What is the idea of a retreat? This is the idea. This is the idea. What you are talking just now. For that, you set aside time and you go and start watching yourself. You understand? Retreat, recast, and come back and live. Recast your thinking. Recast yourself. Rebuild yourself. Rejuvenate yourself. Question everything. Why everybody is doing certain things in a hurry? Somebody is in a hurry to go and contact, somebody is in a hurry to withdraw. What do you mean? We need to slowly, slowly see that. Then, the moment I see that, then I say, body is hungry, body ko food dena, dena. Jitna dena, utna dega. Jada nahi dega, kam nahi dega. You will not give too much, you will not give too little. So like you said, automatically, you will not worry. Automatically you will start enjoying your food. Everything will happen. But main thing what happens is, what is the main thing happens?
Separation.
You see that you are separate from the body. For the first time, unless you heard everybody constantly, everybody in all the lectures saying, you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, you are not, okay, all that is fine, what is for breakfast today? Immediately our mind goes like that. You should see that. When the scriptures say you are not the body, you should see that. When you see that, then you conquer the mind. Then you don't go to that thing. So start in small, small things and see it yourself. Then when you start achieving that samatva bhav, then you naturally slide into quietitude. Otherwise, quietitude will be such a suffocating thing for you. You understand? It's like somebody who has suppressed themselves from talking for months together, because they have gone for some retreat together, for 6 months, mom, chale gaye. 6 months ke baad, next 6 months, verbal diarrhea. Going on. Verbal diarrhea. They can't stop themselves from talking. Even in sleep they are talking. You understand? This is not sadhana. In other words, you have been stopping yourself forcefully.
Suppression.
You understand? So when it is with awareness, when it is smooth sailing, it's beautiful. So that is what we need to understand. So he says, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. So first what we should be interested in, not in meditation, in quietitude and all that. First, samatvala, regulate. First in whatever I do, I should try to follow the middle path. I should do things with awareness. So karma yoga. Right? Then what happens? I'm not choosing this or that. Or you can look at it both ways. You can say, I'm starting to live choicelessly, or you can say, I'm starting to live choicefully. Both make sense in this context, the way you use it. So then, you will be quiet. You will be able to be quiet. So to the extent you do this karma yoga, to that extent your mind becomes
quiet.
To the extent you achieve that balance. Right? Without that, that's why they say don't get into meditation without Nadi Shuddhi and all that, even in yoga and they teach you. Right? In Ashtanga Yoga also, even there they talk about Jnana Yoga, study, discrimination, etc. All that, when your mind has relatively been calm through various preparations. See, the problem is we are thinking, I need the food. I don't need the food. Body needs the food. You understand? Body doesn't need it. And you go to the extreme. It is the nature that needs, not even the body. Nature needs to perpetuate itself. So through you, it wants you to procreate. Are you with me? You will die. But nature wants to perpetuate itself. So for the sake of nature, that act of procreation is needed. For you, is it needed? If you think carefully. Even the body doesn't need, but body is part of the nature. Please understand. Because this body will perish, but the nature has to go on. Are you with me? So if you are able to see all that, then you are actually becoming more and more controlled. Otherwise, now what is happening? Like animal, you understand? You are carried away. Especially in the case of human being, when the mind is there, human being can go into extremes. So therefore, when you start practicing living consciously, mindfully like Buddha says, not leaving the action and going, you be in Grihastha Ashrama. That's what Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna. You understand? Your research lab is this life. Don't have to go to some new research lab where the second line people are there. They have already reached that stage. Therefore, they are all in the research lab where only meditation is going on. You will go there slowly. Don't be in a hurry. Don't try to go to PhD before going through primary school and high school, higher secondary, graduation, post graduation, etc. So, Aru Bhukshor Mune Yogam. What? Karma Karana Muchate. Yoga Rudasya Tatyaiva Shamakarana Muchate. You should be able to remember this verse. Then you will say, to the extent I have achieved Samastva Bhav, to that extent I can practice meditation. Now, how do I know I have achieved that Samastva Bhav? What is the measuring scale? How do I know? That is talked about in the next verse. Yada hinendriya teshu, yada hinendriya teshu, na karmasvanu sajjate, na karmasvanu sajjate, sarva sankalpa sanyasi, yogarudatta docchate, yogarudatta docchate, yada hinendriya teshu, na karmasvanu sajjate, sarva sankalpa sanyasi, yogarudatta when a human being is not attached, not deluded, either to sense objects, indriya, or karma, actions, and has renounced all sankalpas, then he is said to be established in yoga. Very, very beautiful verses these are. Very slowly he is explaining everything. How do you know? Yeah, very often this question comes. Sir, how do I know whether I am ready? Actually, please understand this. A fellow who is really interested will not ask this question. And secondly, when you are ready, you will know automatically. Right? It's like a lady asking a doctor in a maternity hospital, doctor, when will I know I've got the labor pain? The doctor said, when you get the labor pain, not only you, the whole hospital comes to know. You understand? It's like that. So, you are not really interested. And you're going on asking such questions. Ready means you will be sliding automatically. Otherwise, you'll be dealing with all such unnecessary questions. Because it's a fear. Mind wants... See, mind tries to save itself. You can't blame the mind. Because it's a dissolution of the mind. Na? The project that you are involved in is dissolution of mind. And the mind wants to save itself. For its own benefit. It wants to save itself. So it will come up with all sorts of questions. So what is he saying here? He's saying, when a person is not attached either to sense objects or actions. Why is he talking about these two here in this context? Very often, why are they acting?
Because of your senses or your actions.
desire.
Your sense wants something. There is some sense craving is there. Either eyes want to see something, ears want to hear something, nose wants to smell something, skin wants to touch, tongue wants to eat. Five senses are there. Right? These five senses are craving for something. Then what do? We have to act. Why do we act? With action I will get some money. With money what will you do? You can give the eyes what it wanted to see. Are you with me? So if you basically analyze why we become active to fulfill our desires for the senses. So he is talking about entirely everything is attachment to senses. Senses are the doors. And remember when he says senses in scripture, he is including the mind also. Because really speaking, senses is in the mind. This is just a gwalaya, the outside organ. You understand? Ears. If somebody chops your ears tomorrow, you can still hear. Because it is in the mind, the sense center. Are you with me? If in your brain there is something damaged, even if you have the ear, you will still not be able to hear. So when he says senses, don't take as the physical senses. He is talking about the mind included. It is the mind basically. If you go deeper, because all the sense centers are eventually in the mind. And the mind is craving. Ye chahiye, wo chahiye. I want to see this, I want to see that. I want to hear this, I want to hear that. Or something new has come, I have not heard. Or something new has come. Last time when I went to the country, it was that. Start to go again. So what is happening? If I have to go again, I have to earn money. If I have to earn money, I have to work. You understand? So action. So attachment. So what is saying? Watch again. Delusion say again you want to become free. Again the same thing only. Logic is same. If you want to become free from attachment with the mind, with the senses, how do you become free? By start becoming aware. If you start doing things watchfully, then you will clearly see attachment is there and the new attachment will not come. Lot of people without understanding this, what they do is they stop action. Are action ko stop karke kya faida? Because in your mind the senses are really craving. See, when Mahavir did not go after money, he did not go after money because his senses are not craving. He is really controlled his senses. Now you too will follow Mahavir only in letter and not in spirit. Then what you will do? You will stop chasing money. Then you will think you will become Mahavir. Nothing will happen. Inside, senses craving goes on becoming too much. Then you will start becoming hypocrite. See, this is how it works. You really need to remove your attachment with your senses. When your attachment with the senses are removed, automatically actions come over. Then you will be able to get into quietude. Let us see how long you are able to go for a retreat. Temporarily you will go and you will feel very nice about it. 3-4 days, 1 week ke baad, what happened? I have to get back to work. You will say obligations. Mind will come up with all sorts of things. Eventually if you see, you are not able to be without. Your attachment has shuru ho gaya. Are you with me? Therefore you are not able to be quiet. Temporarily okay, it was fine. Then the attachment starts. After a week or 10, depends from person to person. Understand? Then the whole thing starts. Then you will get back. Again same attachment. So therefore he says, first deal with your attachment to senses, then automatically you will become detached with action. But a lot of us, what do? We always treat symptomatically. We don't go to the cause. Why is a person running after the world? If he stops running, everything will become alright. Nothing will become alright. This is what Lord Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna. Look at the cause, don't go to the symptom, man. You are trying to solve the symptom. The symptoms of you will get it all right. After a while again the whole thing will come. Because you have not eliminated the
cause.
So Lord Krishna is again and again trying to tell Arjuna, you cannot afford to do this. You got to get deeper and eliminate the cause. And what is the cause?
No.
Attachment to your senses. What is attachment? When your stomach is hungry, you say, I am hungry. That is attachment. That is delusion. You have become inseparable with reference to your senses. If the object of that sense comes in front, the sense is craving and you are doing certain actions, you have reached a point of no return. There is something called as reaching a point of no return. Many of our actions have not reached that area still. But some we have reached the point of no return. In some it is still at the desire level. It still not reached the point of, it has not yet reached the point of no return. Are you with me? So with knowledge you can remove yourself the attachment from those areas where it has still not reached the point of no return. But there are certain things it has reached the point of no return. There you can't help. So there you continue, but now slowly start doing things with little awareness. Then you will see. That is the way you can become detached. The scriptures are mirrors. They are only trying to help us see it in our life. You have to start seeing it in your life. That is Nididhyasana. After reflection, you are understanding. As you are living, as you are going through the experience, you start seeing. Once you see, then you separate. The problem is, you are not seeing it. In fact, you will start seeing what? You will start seeing actually there is no sukha. Because your mind is now thinking, when I fulfill the desire, the craving of my senses, I will get sukha. And you run after it. You get it. You get the object. You did not get the sukham. That is why you are running after it again and again. The sukham that you really wanted, you did not get it. Therefore, you are running after it again and again. But now if you start watchfully contacting, you will see, what you will see? You will see that actually there is no sukham coming from it. Once you will see that actually there is no sukham coming from it, then what happens? You will get detached. Till then, your detachment cannot happen. As long as deep inside you believe there is sukha in the external world, you will be running after it in some form or the other. Real detachment will not come. So it says when a man is attached either to sense objects or actions, is not attached to sense objects or actions and has renounced all sankalpas, is not pursuing it with tremendous determination and willpower to achieve. All that is fallen, when all that has fallen, then you understand that he is established in. Then you know. Now we probably are in a situation where when the object is not in front of us, we are not craving for it. But if the object is in front of us, what happens? Our dear delights are often such, exposed to view, but not to touch. The sight of a foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples and grapes. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from it. Beautiful pineapple leaf. The sight our foolish heart inflames. Understand? No, when you are living in a centralized air conditioned building, in somebody else's house, in an apartment complex, centrally air conditioned complex, if you are living, in Dubai, this used to be the story, whether you are a vegetarian or not, you will be made to be a non-vegetarian. I'll tell you how. It is not as if you contact the food with your tongue only. Your other sense knows of this contact. somebody else is doing some preparing some lunch for through the central air conditioned system, the smell is coming to you in your house. Right? Then what happens? You may be sitting in the study room, studying, but the smell has reached your nose. And slowly you found yourself in that experience of eating. Suddenly you realize, I don't know yet. So our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch, the sight our foolish heart inflames. We long for pineapple. Understand? The senses start making its move. After a while you see, I'm not in control. So if this is what is happening, then you know that I'm still not ready for meditation. I've still not crossed high school or primary school. I'm still not ready for PhD. So what do you have to do? Don't have to get depressed. What do you have to do? First try to pass the high school. Why are you in a hurry to give up your grass ashram and go to sannyas? Continue here. This is your field of evolution. You need to work here. All those who are there now, graduated from here. If not in this Janma, maybe in previous Janma. When Adi Shankara, at the age of 8, when he was taken to his guru, he went to his guru, and his guru asked, who are you? Immediately he started chanting, Mano Bodhya Sankara Chitta Ninaham Nacha Shrotra Jeeve Nacha Grana Nekre Nacha Vyoma Bhume Nate Jona Vayuhu Chidananda Rupah Shivoham Shivoham Chidananda Rupah Shivoham Shivoham. When he's saying that, what it means is he has already gone through Grihastha Ashrama and all that in his previous Janma. Nobody ever can straight away go there. Right, he's telling, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this, I'm not Punya, I'm not Papa, all that in that song. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham. I'm that Shiva, I'm consciousness. To his guru. Right, at the age of 8. You say he's still not come through Grihastha Ashrama. Whereas the same in this Janma. Maybe Janma that passed by, you do not know. Right, everybody has to necessarily go through elementary, high school, higher secondary, graduation, post-graduation, and then to PhD. So Krishna says, if only you are not attached to yourselves, we are all great masters, then the problem is somebody else's. In front of you, the object of your weakness is brought. The strength of a chain is its weakest link. Not depends on its weakest link. The strength of a chain is its weakest link. If you have a chain made of solid iron, but one link is left, the strength of the chain is that link only. So, Adi Shankara says, Uranga Matanga Patanga Meenam Ringana Panja Pranjitaki. He says, various examples he gives of various species, each of the species having weakness for one sense and then getting caught up by that, getting devastated, destroyed by that weakness for one sense. For example, bee has weakness for the fragrance. It enters a flower and the flower closes, delicious. Moth has weakness for sight. It enters a plane, delicious. Deer has weakness for ear, the thumb. So the hunter beats the drum, it comes and then he shoots it. Fish has weakness for tongue, it gets caught in the bait. Elephant has weakness for touch. During mating season, it is looking for the opposite sex. So what they do is, they dig a big pit and cover it with grass. and the elephant falls into it. So either each of these species, for one weakness, because of one weakness, it gets trapped, destroyed. And poor human being, he has weakness for all five senses, says Adi Shankara.
In Vivek Chudamani, this human being has weakness for all five. What to do? So in the area of your weakness, generally it is not as if all five senses are weak. Right? Maybe one or two senses may be very strong, and that is your weak link. That is your real strength. You need to work there. So understand, when you have always talked about sense control, always he talks about being detached to your senses. That is the first step. Without any sense control, we all want to go and sit in meditation and do this and that. So remember this, to the extent you are not attached to your senses, to the extent you are not attached to your actions and obligations, to the extent you have renounced the sankalpa, means what? Bhagwan ka jo ichha hai, wo jo dega, jo bhi wo dega, I'll accept. That bhav, to the extent that bhav na chahiye. Right? Everything is, if I'm not there, 2 days, you are gone for a retreat. Beach mein you will be calling him, anima, everything ticks chal rahe garpe. In fact, everybody, today, surprisingly, everything is going on very, very fast. Right? And they wish the retreat is getting extended or not. Because we generally think things are going because of me. Things are going in spite of us. Before us, the world was.
Still was.
During us, the world is. After us, the world will continue. Why should I get into this? I am doing it. All that when it is gone, you are able to be relaxed. You should be in a position to take off if you are not really well. But if there is tension in you, if I take off, somebody new will come in my place for these few days, and supposing he will do the job better than me, then maybe my seat will be in jeopardy. Therefore I will not allow the other fellow to come in. So even in sickness, I will somehow want to work. Not because I love work, because I am attached to my seat. But what am I doing? I want to do meditation. Krishna says, nonsense. Right? You will know when you have become a yoga arunda. When do you know that? When you are not attached to your senses. When you are not attached to your actions. When you are able to accept not having the sankalpa thing. Sarva sankalpa sanyasi. Then you are eligible to be quiet. And when you become quiet, in you automatically atma, the consciousness will start evolving. That is what he is saying there.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. मनसेन्द्रियैवा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृतेष्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
हरिओम।